This is Celtic Connections with Cathy Sinnott. Celtic Connections, the show with the Catholic view of what's happening right now in Great Britain, in Ireland, and across Europe. Celtic Connections with Cathy Sinnott. Broadcasting from Ireland.
Hello and welcome to Celtic Connections. I'm Paul McAree, standing in for Cathy Sinnott, and I'm speaking to you from St. Mary's Church in Belfast, Northern Ireland. And in St. Mary's, we have prayers constantly round the clock, adoration, perpetual adoration. We're praying for a miracle to stop the Westminster government, the British government, from imposing radicalized abortion in Northern Ireland, where we are. And the reason that they have done this is because our own local government is in suspension because of disagreements between parties. And they're going to do this, they intend to do this on Monday the 21st. So we're crying out to God for his mercy and for a miracle. So to understand just where we are with all of this at the moment, I've invited my good friend Liam Gibson, the political officer for the Society for the Protection of Unborn Children. And Liam is kept close to the political workings behind the scenes with all of this. So Liam, welcome, and in this very sobering time that we have.
Thank you, Paul.
Really, you would say really in Irish history.
This is a very solemn moment for the whole of Ireland, and indeed for the whole of Europe, because yeah. Northern Ireland was really one of the safest places for an unborn child in the whole of Europe, and now it's going to have one of the most extreme abortion regimes anywhere in Europe.
Yeah, and as well, Ireland and Northern Ireland, we have been a beacon and a witness of civilization, because up to this point we love our children, we love family, but unfortunately in the Republic, people will know that by popular vote, they voted to allow for a radicalized abortion in the Republic, and now even more so in Northern Ireland, where we respect life, this is being imposed on us. And we're, as I say, we're crying out to God for, that's our business as Christians, to pray and to pray for a miracle. Well, Liam, could you tell us where we're at the moment? Because we know that there's been workings behind the scene with the British Secretary of State and the two main parties, Sinn Féin and the DUP. Just first of all, briefly, the DUP would be generally pro-life?
Generally pro-life, and drawing most of its support from the Protestant and Unionist section of the population in Northern Ireland.
And Sinn Féin?
Sinn Féin traditionally draws its support from the Catholic and Nationalist community. And unfortunately, it's Sinn Féin who are leading the charge for the decriminalisation of abortion. And they've shown themselves to be very determined to force this through, even though it is being imposed from the London government against the will of the people of Northern Ireland.
Yeah, which for a nationalist Republican party is unprecedented. We'll come back to that in a few moments. But first of all, these are the two main parties that would have been in government in Northern Ireland. And they've been suspended because of local disagreements. And the Secretary of State, the British Secretary of State, has called them together in talks to see if something can be done with regard to this and regard to a preparation for the Brexit negotiations as well. Am I right?
Yes. The local parties, or the two main major parties, the DUP and Sinn Féin, will be having talks over the next couple of days.
And what can we expect? What is the best that we could expect from those talks regarding the life issue?
The way the law that was passed in July, which is going to strip all meaningful protection from unborn children in Northern Ireland, the way that law is structured requires and the election of the First Minister and the Deputy First Minister in a devolved administration in order to negate that.
In other words, it requires them to come together
agree to form a devolved government. It doesn't have to be of any particular duration, so they could, if they wanted, if there was a will to stop this, the imposition of this new abortion regime on the part of Sinn Féin and the DUP, they could come together, agree to have elections for First and Deputy First Minister, and then go back into negotiations and suspend government again.
Yeah, and restore government again.
Yes.
Yes. What would be the best outcome?
Even if local government was only to be restored for an hour or an afternoon, mm-hmm. that would mean that the protection that's currently in place for unborn children would remain. Now there was
and
a lot
of
pressures.
If they decided that together,
they would. The system that we have requires that the First Minister and the Deputy First Minister are elected together on a joint ticket.
So that has to happen.
Yeah. And it has to have the agreement of the two biggest parties in order for that to happen.
Yeah.
So while they can go and stand and argue in the chamber of the assembly, unless they actually elect the First and Deputy First Minister, then this law take its course.
Yeah. So if they did that, that could happen relatively quickly if they did.
Essentially, if they elect the First and Deputy First Minister, then the next stage is to select ministers, and that's done on a sort of a rota. But really, the essential thing is the election of the First and Deputy First Minister.
So it is possible that they could halt this legislation in its tracks in the coming days.
If there was a will to do it, they could do it right away.
So let's examine the will to do it. From the Democratic Unionist Party, the traditionally Protestant party, who would be thought of as pro-life, what do you think the position is there?
Their position is that, you know, they'll go back in the government right away. They'll do it today. And they have called on the other parties to make devolution work.
Their leader, Aileen Foster, has done that, yeah?
Yes, yes. Unfortunately, there doesn't seem to be the will on the part of Sinn Féin to do that, and they have made several excuses as to why it can't be done, and they have what they call red lines, saying that they need an Irish Language Act, that they need a different position on Brexit from the British government, and really they keep changing the excuse. But essentially, two of the items that they had as red lines were reform of abortion and the introduction of so-called same-sex marriage.
Yeah. So
those are two issues that that are now going to be introduced automatically if there is no return to devolution. Yeah. So it's in the interests of Sinn Féin to allow that to happen and then go into negotiations on the other.
Because we know in recent times they have really affirmed ideological positions on these things, like the so-called same-sex marriage and the abortion issue as, a woman's right to choose. And so that's very clear that this is their ideological position now. Because of this ideological position, they have actually had influence then with the British government with this legislation. We're finding out that they actually helped lobby this, or what's her position?
Yes, it's widely understood that Sinn Féin have been calling for this sort of reform for a long time, and working very closely with the abortion lobby within the House of Commons, in particular Stella Creasy, the MP for Walthamstow, who's been invited to various events in Belfast, in a Republican festival. Also, there have been a number of pro-abortion politicians within Northern Ireland from other parties.
So here we have Sinn Féin, who would be recognised, I suppose, as the main ones carrying the torch for nationalism, republicanism, for a united Ireland, for Ireland to be one country separated from Great Britain. And they would I suppose, think of themselves as the spokespeople today, resting on the shoulders of the fathers of the Republic, in a sense, the 1916 volunteers who proclaimed a republic. And because they did, they were accused of treason and were executed for that. Now, the position of Sinn Féin is radically different from traditional republicanism and nationalism in Ireland. Isn't that right?
That's correct. I mean, their ideology would be more closer aligned to revolutionary, left-wing, very Marxist ideology, equality, and...
Yeah, so they're wedded to this radical feminist position, which comes along with that. So all of this ideology, which is really nothing to do with Ireland, it's an import from the really the communist parties, from the Soviet Union ultimately, and Marx, this kind of ideology that's been imported, given the clothing and sort of put the clothing of national and republicanism,
If you want to look at it this way, whilst Irish nationalism really has its roots in the 1916 rising in Dublin, the modern Irish Republican movement, and Sinn Féin in particular, is much more closely aligned to the 1917 Bolshevik Revolution.
Yeah.
You know, that's where the deriving force now is within within Sinn Féin and modern Irish Republicanism.
That's right. And this isn't just sort of our opinion. I mean, we know what those men in the 1916 Rising, Pierce and others, believed, because we have their testimonies. And it was very clear that they linked what they were doing to, for example, the persecutions of Ireland in the penal times, where the faith was not allowed to be practiced. And then the famine as well, which was also exacerbated at the very least by the British. So they were linking Ireland and the faith inextricably linked in their minds for what it meant to be an Irish patriot. And so their proclamation started off with words of faith under God and ended with that, and has this sentence about the nation that would cherish all her children equally.
Yes.
And so given that that's the position of Irish republicanism for, you know, decades and hundreds of years, really, they have really betrayed that in the most profound way by going and lobbying the British to bring British-style law into Ireland to solve our problem by killing our children and wounding our mothers.
The episode of how abortion is being imposed on Northern Ireland is really... it just underlines the hypocrisy of Sinn Féin's policy on abortion, because while they refuse to take their seats in the Westminster Parliament because they say that Ireland's sovereignty should not be subjected to British law and British rule, they lobbied quite hard to have this introduced and are being very supportive, welcomed the decision by the House of Commons and the British government to do this. And whilst the unionist politicians who did take their seats, 100% of the unionist representatives in the House of Commons voted against this and were opposed to it on grounds that this was a decision that has to be rightfully taken by the people of Northern Ireland, and that Westminster should respect that. It is Sinn Féin who claim to be against British rule who are actually most supportive of what the British government has actually done.
So it really is a betrayal of monumental historical proportions in Ireland of the Irish people, and particularly the most vulnerable.
In particular, the most vulnerable. You know, this will cost tens of thousands of lives in the coming years if it is allowed to remain.
Yeah. And given that the traditional voter of Sinn Féin would be Catholic, do you think people are, the voters for Sinn Féin, are aware of the length of this betrayal?
Undoubtedly, there are voters within Sinn Féin's base who will vote for the party regardless of any of their policies, because those people want a united Ireland as quickly as possible. They do not see that they are actually making themselves culpable for what Sinn Féin is actually doing, and the deaths of potentially tens of thousands of Irish babies.
But there must be voters of Sinn Féin who would know their Irish history. Even, you know, a brushstroke of Irish history shows you that Sinn Féin are really what we used to call quislings, betrayers of that very principle.
Yes, and undoubtedly there's a lot of Catholics who are finding it impossible now to vote to continue to vote for Sinn Féin. But unfortunately, that number needs to grow, because a recent poll conducted amongst the various political factions within Northern Ireland showed that 53% of Sinn Féin voters supported the changes in the abortion regime. All the other parties, with the exception of the Green Party, had a majority who were opposed to what had happened. So unfortunately, there's a lot of Catholics who are making themselves culpable in the deaths of innocent unborn children.
There's no doubt. And even if they believe that, these are for exceptional cases, they're somehow fogged in their thinking, because this regime that's being imposed is right up to 28 weeks. A woman is very, very pregnant at that stage. For any reason, that woman could have an abortion. Her boyfriend forces her into it. He cannot be prosecuted.
Yes, it is going to be a situation for at least the next 5 to 6 months that there'll be no protection even for women from unscrupulous abortionists. But we'd have to say that at the same time, every abortion is an act of violence against an innocent unborn child, and lethal violence against children is never acceptable. It's never justifiable.
At any age.
At any stage, no matter what the circumstances of conception, no matter what the diagnosis of a life-limiting condition or whatever the circumstances that a woman in a desperate situation finds herself, the law should protect all human beings equally, before and after birth.
So, Liam, we want to get into, you know, why we're praying and we're looking for a miracle. We'll get into that in a moment. Just tell us briefly about some of the other parties. The SDLP, Social Democratic and Labour Party, would have been supported by Catholics Party in times past. What is their position?
Unfortunately, their position has liberalised in recent years, and the party are now split on the abortion issue. Whilst leading members of the party have welcomed decriminalisation, and there have been several votes in local district councils who both Sinn Féin and SDLP members have welcomed decriminalisation, other people within the party do maintain the ethos of a right to life, and the SDLP was founded on the idea of opposing violence and respecting civil rights and human rights.
That's right.
And there are a number of people within the SDLP who are committed to that and do recognise that abortion is the greatest violation of human rights in the world today.
Yeah, and so the same thing for the leader of the SDLP. He is really betraying the founding principles of the SDLP.
He is sold out for a more liberal agenda across a range of issues, in particular on abortion and same-sex marriage.
Yeah, and so other parties of note would be in their positions.
Well, the Ulster Unionists, who used to be the dominant force in politics in Northern Ireland for most of its history,
would have been a predominantly Protestant.
Which would still be the case. It's become much more of a liberal party with no definite policy on issues of conscience such as abortion.
Yeah.
What we see within the Ulster Unionist Party is it's becoming more and more outspoken on the pro-abortion side, with fewer and fewer of its representatives are sticking with the traditional policy that the party would have held. And the Alliance Party, which is basically the fifth party in Northern Ireland politics.
But moderate people on both sides would have been voting for in times past.
Yes, yes. And one that was, during the conflict in Northern Ireland, that was the party that would have drawn support from both sides of the community. Unfortunately, it's out of all the parties, I'd have to say the Alliance Party are probably provide the coldest house for Catholics, and because of their relentless promotion of the same-sex marriage agenda, promotion of abortion policies, which would be undermining the Catholic education system. So the Alliance Party are almost solidly at a, certainly at the establishment level within the party, they're solidly pro-abortion, although they say that it's left up to their individual members and candidates.
Yeah. So I'm speaking to Liam Gibson, who's the political officer for the Society for the Protection of Unborn Children in Northern Ireland, and we're discussing this latest very serious crisis in Ireland and the countdown to the 21st on Monday, when the British government are set to impose the most radical abortion regime in Northern Ireland in Europe. So we're praying for a miracle, Liam. What would a miracle look like if God in his mercy gives us the miracle?
On paper, at least, it wouldn't require a great deal. It would just be to soften the hearts of Sinn Féin in order to allow the election of a first and deputy first minister, even for a very short space of time. So it's not insurmountable. It's not the Gordian knot. It just requires the leadership of Sinn Féin to relent and allow the process to go forward. And that's the only thing that will actually prevent decriminalisation now, is the election of the first and deputy first minister. There's no other option.
So it's within Sinn Féin's gift to do this if they wanted to.
Yes.
Is there a way in which we could expose Sinn Féin by showing clearly that their ideological positions are anathema to the founding fathers of the Irish Republic?
Given the time that's left, I don't think there's much more that can be done apart from lobbying very, very hard outside Sinn Féin's offices, you know, having demonstrations there. People phoning and sending emails to their Sinn Féin representatives, demanding that they make devolution work. And even if they didn't actually care about the abortion issue, they should care that the people of Northern Ireland should be allowed to decide this for themselves and not have it imposed on them.
Yeah, and they should be ashamed of inviting British law over here to sort out our problems instead of even, you know, dealing with them ourselves. And the thing is about Sinn Féin, their parents and grandparents of these members of Sinn Féin would have been appalled at the thought of inviting British law into Ireland to kill Irish babies. Would have been absolutely appalled. And so there must be somewhere in their hearts that they realise, or we could help them to realise, this betrayal. And that the loss of support, if others can understand this. Would I be right?
Yes, and I think people who would be genuinely committed to independence for Ireland and self-determination for the people of Northern Ireland would see that automatically. Unfortunately, the ruling elite within Sinn Féin are much more ideologically committed to revolution and reforming society, not as Ireland as it was, but as something of a...
Yeah, they've trampled all over the forefathers and everything that's been republican up until recent times.
Yes, it's
and they want to simply homogenize Ireland with the rest of their idea of a kind of a Marxist, socialist sort of regime.
Yes, yes.
And which is, as again we repeat, has nothing to do with Ireland. All this is an import into a society which historically has been an incredible society, or light to civilization, and brought the gospel and Western civilization and values out into the known world, you know, in times past. All of that has been, you know, trampled over.
Yes, and you'd have to say that the people who want to change Ireland irrevocably despise the past. They don't value what Ireland has done for the world, and even the sufferings that Irish Catholics have endured to maintain the faith.
Yeah, which, at the heel of the British government.
Yes, and now, unfortunately, we see that it's going to become much more difficult for pro-life Catholic doctors, nurses and midwives. If this law goes ahead, they're not going to have any conscience protection. There's going to be limits on freedom of pro-life speech. Yeah. These are actually being threatened. Yeah. And Sinn Féin seems to be quite happy to see that happen, and actually supportive of measures which undermine genuine human rights in the promotion of their radical agenda.
Yeah, Liam, if we pass the deadline on Monday of the 21st, then what is the position with regard to dealing with this imposed legislation, which becomes active after the 21st? What is the position then if the parties come together in halting this in its tracks?
The only way to halt this in its tracks is to have the election of a deputy first minister and a first minister before the 21st. After that, there will be no way of reversing it. It cannot be halted. We'll immediately go into a position of having no law whatsoever. So it'll be
decriminalised.
It'll be totally decriminalised, at least up until 24 weeks, possibly up until 28 weeks. But there'll be nothing to stop coercive abortions, sex elective abortions, DIY abortions, the use of illegal abortion drugs purchased over the internet. None of that will be a criminal offence.
But if the people of Northern Ireland elect pro-life representatives, and there's a majority who want to continue to keep Northern Ireland an abortion-free location, is there a way in which that can happen?
At the moment, the political landscape would not be favourable to that. It would be very, very difficult to get consensus to restore the right to life of unborn children. There would be so many exceptions for health of the mother, disability of the child, allegations of rape, that would essentially put us in a position which would be much closer to the Abortion Act in England and Wales. What we're looking at is something much more radical than the Abortion Act allows, but the chances of actually getting anywhere near the level of protection that there is now are very, very remote.
Yes, so we're obviously praying for that miracle. If we find ourselves in that position, if we elect solidly pro-life representatives, is that that slim chance that we have?
It would have to be an overwhelming majority of genuinely pro-life.
Not just 51%?
Not just 51%. Because
what percent?
Because of the structures that are in place at present in Northern Ireland, even a small group of representatives can block any proposal. So what we would need is a pro-life majority on both the unionist side and the nationalist side. So there would have to be either a change policy in Sinn Féin or a different party in the majority on the nationalist side of the assembly.
So ultimately we need people power from Christians in Northern Ireland to come together and to protest this and expose this lie that's been imposed.
Until people start to change the way they're voting and to take account of what their vote is actually going to mean, then it's a very, very grim picture. And nothing really will change. The essential part is actually to convince Catholic people that they cannot vote for a party that is pro-abortion.
Yes, and that's what we have to do. I think, Liam, you know, we need an uprising in the sense of the people in Northern Ireland. And people in Northern Ireland, the vast majority would be baptized Christians. And many, many of them would be people who are practicing Christians on both sides of what we call the divide, who, if they really understood, you know, what's going on, to what extent they do, because the media, of course, are twisted with all of these things, I think will be appalled. So we need to somehow inform and organize ourselves as a Christian nation to speak loudly in defense of our most vulnerable citizens, which is, of course, is a measure of any nation, how it treats its most vulnerable citizens.
Yes. And in a sense, what has happened is been because the people of Northern Ireland and the people of Ireland in general have moved away from God and from Christ. And that's made us vulnerable to these sorts of attacks. And this is a consequence of, you know, the sins of our community that are now going to be paid for the price for that is the lives of unborn children. And until Ireland returns to Christ and it returns to the gospel, there's very, very little prospect that we will be able to protect life in future, because it without a proper understanding of creation, there is no understanding of an individual's human life.
Each child it's a shifting
is
sound.
Unique, a That's unique right. creation of God. And once that's lost sight of, then children become disposable.
So we need a spiritual revolution.
We need a spiritual counter-revolution.
Yeah, we do. We do. And maybe that's the business that we're in that sense, as Christians, yes. to proclaim the good news. And as our Lord quoted in Isaiah, you know, in defense of the broken and the outcast and the lame and the prisoner,
yes,
and the ones who've gone astray. Because in the short term, in God and his mercy, we're crying out for him to stop this immediate imposition. But he wants a nation that turns its hearts back to God ultimately. Because as a people, as a history of Ireland for 1,500 years, it's the history of a Christian people, and that's the yes. nature of who we are. So it's coming back to who we are that we need to rediscover. And I think that St. Patrick and Malachy and St. Oliver Plunkett are not resting on their laurels in heaven, but especially Patrick, his passion for the Irish. And we are a people of faith. We are a people of the miraculous. So we need to pray and pray hard and cry out for God's mercy yes. and repent
yes.
and have reparation and turn our hearts back to God.
Yes,
I think ultimately is the answer to our situation.
Yes, yes, absolutely. I would agree with that.
Yeah,
I would agree with that.
Well, Liam, thank you for this, and we'll ask our listeners to pray. Just before you go, you told me some great news yesterday about a new parish opening up in Belfast. Tell us briefly about it.
Yes, very briefly. The Institute of Christ the King is a traditional order of priests founded, I think, in the 1990s. More recently, about 10 years ago, arrived in County Limerick and have a church there in Sacred Heart in the city of Limerick, and have been coming to Belfast regularly since then for about 10 or 15 years now, and saying the traditional Latin Mass, the old Tridentine Mass in Latin, and with the support of the Bishop of Down and Connor, have now purchased a former Presbyterian church in Belfast, which they're now going to make the centre of their apostolate in Northern Ireland. That's just been announced very recently, and was in the papers today. And we would have to pay tribute as well to the people of the Presbyterian congregation, who were very, very happy to sell the building to another Christian community in order for it to maintain its role as a place of worship. And, you know, between our friends in the Presbyterian community and the support of Bishop Noel Traynor from Down and Connor,
yeah,
things are looking very positive for the Latin Mass apostolate in Northern Ireland.
Well, it's one of several communities really that have come to Ireland in recent times, new communities.
Yes,
Christ the King, which is such a grace, it really is. And it's a beautiful church. I saw pictures of it. And it's a real traditional kind of church with the spire and everything.
Yes, it is.
Our Presbyterian friends are handing over.
Yes, it's a very nice...
And they've shown great goodwill and integrity in all of this.
Yes, they've been terrific.
It's beautiful, beautiful. Terrific. Well, congratulations, because I know it's up beside yourself and you'll be a parishioner there.
Yes.
And it's not far from the spot where we are. So
no.
God has a plan.
And yes, it'll be a ray of hope in the coming years.
That's right. Liam, thank you. I've booked you in at 4 o'clock tomorrow morning for adoration. Is that okay?
Certainly, Paul.
Liam, God love you.
Thanks, Paul.
You're listening to Celtic Connections with Cathy Sinnott. Celtic Connections is the only show made in the UK or Ireland with the Catholic view of what's happening in Great Britain, Ireland, and across Europe. Stay tuned for more Celtic Connections with Cathy Sinnott.
I'm here on the Andersonstown Road in West Belfast in front of the Sinn Féin, the Republican Party's headquarters. And I'm here with Bernie Smith, who's the founder and director of Precious Life, Northern Ireland's largest pro-life group. Bernie, why are we here today?
Well, we're here to highlight the fact that Sinn Féin are unwilling to go into government on Monday in order to safeguard our laws and protect our future unborn children. And the people of West Belfast, we have the great privilege of joining people from this community who have invited us here. We've organised this demonstration to highlight what Sinn Féin are preventing, because Sinn Féin are preventing the government from coming together on Monday, and we will pray that this doesn't happen. But at this point, the message from Sinn Féin is that they're unwilling to go into government and set up the government with the Democratic Unionist Party in order to stop abortion from being imposed in Northern Ireland through the Northern Ireland Formation Bill, a bill that, if enacted on the 22nd of October, will legalise abortion literally up to birth. We have a flyer here that has been going around West Belfast and all over Northern Ireland highlighting the 10 facts that this bill would include, and it's literally abortion for any reason and could be legalised up to birth. This is the worst time in history, but history is looking at Sinn Féin at this time. We stand outside Connolly House. James Connolly, as people knew, was a great Irish warrior, and he stood for every child in Ireland, north and south. And yet these people, in the name of the so-called Irish community, are bringing in the murder of Irish children and imposing it in Northern Ireland. The flyer I have before me shows you Michelle O'Neill, the deputy and leader of Sinn Féin in Northern Ireland, with Stella Creasy, a Labour MP in Westminster, and the Sinn Féin party, Michelle O'Neill and Mary Lou, went to Westminster on 3 occasions and asked the Westminster government to impose abortion on Northern Ireland. So in a sense, they have introduced direct rule into Northern Ireland, and that direct rule will murder Irish children.
Yes, what they're doing is they're importing British-style law into Northern Ireland to solve whatever problems we have by killing our children right up to 28 weeks and beyond, as you say, for any reason. That's like 7 months and beyond. So it's extraordinary an Irish moment in Irish history where self-proclaimed Republicans and nationalists would invite the British over here to do that. And at the same time, their position politically is so completely removed from, as you say, James Connolly.
Yeah.
And we're talking about the 1916 Volunteers and Pearse, who were men really of devout faith and were laying down their lives, they believe, for their country in imitation of Christ. And their declaration was under God to cherish all the children equally. So they're importing this whole ideology that's nothing to do with Ireland or Irish history into our country. So it's a deep, deep betrayal, isn't it, Bernie?
A betrayal of the Irish people, and it's a betrayal of democracy. When Sinn Féin don't take their seats in Westminster, but yet called for Westminster to impose this law on Northern Ireland, it's a sheer height of hypocrisy.
It's in their gift to do something about this with their opponents, the DUP, the traditional Protestant party, who are willing to stop this, but they won't cooperate with it. It's like they're ideologically wedded to this position of killing our babies.
I know, and I know that people have been bombarding these offices They've been calling Sinn Féin by day and by night over the last number of weeks and beyond that. And today in particular, I can see that the Sinn Féin office is closed. But people are phoning and they're getting the phones put down on them. But they're continuing to implore. They want to implore Sinn Féin to go into government for the sake of the future children of Ireland. Many people here who have gathered today have stories to tell. I've talked to many people here when they talked about how their family were involved very much in Sinn Féin in the past. Some of them even spent time in jail.
There's a friend of mine who was one of the activists during the Troubles, and he's here too, and he'd love to speak to one of these guys going in. But as you say, they're locked down. There's not a peep out of them.
Nope, they're locked down. But even I spoke to a girl here today, and I mean, she was on the blanket. She gave up her life and could have lost her life.
On the blanket means she was in prison, and she was a blanket protester at the time.
A blanket protester.
A Republican.
For Irish freedom. And she's here today, and she's discussed it with Sinn Féin, as are others. People who passed us by have stopped to share their concerns.
People are beeping, an approval.
Yeah, absolutely.
The good people of West Belfast.
And I really believe that this is just the beginning of, you know, a revolution here in Belfast, where people will rise up. The flyer that I have says Republicans for Life, and I do believe there's going to be a campaign, Republicans for Life, all over the six counties and beyond, where Irish Republican people who have supported, as you can hear in the background, we're very much supported, who stood by Sinn Féin and voted Sinn Féin, are now going to be opposing Sinn Féin in the future. And I think we will see that in the next government elections, whenever that may be, Westminster or Stormont.
That's right. And you know, I heard Mary Lou tell us that, she's a Catholic and her kids go to Catholic schools, and she goes to Mass. And really, their parents or grandparents, certainly their grandparents, would be appalled at what these women are doing in two senses. Because of the faith, because they know that the Bible says that whatever you do to the least of these, you do it to me. And the thought of a 7-month-old, and even up to a 9-month-old baby in the womb, a little one, that they're bringing the British over here to do this would be an absolute scandal to them. And then as Republicans, likewise, the betrayal would be a scandal. And that's just one generation behind them. And God help them, because their parents really would be rolling in their graves at this point.
Well, absolutely. And I spoke to one of our colleagues the other day, whose parents who gave birth to a set of twins, and the twins got to the 30-week mark, and they made a call to Michelle O'Neill's office here in Northern Ireland, Sinn Féin's deputy leader, and asked her to come up to the premature unit in the hospital to see these little twins, to see the humanity and the preciousness of these babies that had to be born early. To look at these children, you're allowing abortion up to 28 weeks, yet these little babies just escaped the 28-week deadline and got to 30 weeks and are now surviving. So, you know, it's even from a human point of view, we know that faith plays a big part in these. Sinn Féin representatives were all brought up in Catholic families and Catholic homes, and they were baptised into the Catholic faith. But even from a human point of view, surely they should see what we see.
Yeah.
Little children in the womb. These little children need our voice, and they need Sinn Féin to be the voice of the Irish children, the future children. And as I say, a nation that cherishes its children, protects its children, has a future, but a nation that destroys its children and doesn't cherish its children and allows their murder has no future. And I do believe history is marking this time very much and watching on. And I really hope and pray that by Monday morning that we will see a transformation of what's happened. We're not giving up hope. We're highlighting it here, and we will continue to highlight it. But we are trusting in faith that a supernatural miracle could take place by Monday if people really pray and fast over the next few days to avert this serious threat to Northern Ireland. But the bizarre thing is that it is the unionist community that got together this week and recalled Stormont. You're talking about 30 unionist MLAs.
Yeah, Protestants.
Protestant MLAs recalled Stormont at this time to try to do something, to stand up and be counted and be a voice for the unborn child. Until today, there was even no word that at the SDLP party, the Socialist Democratic Labour Party, were willing to go into Stormont. But I think they've been pressured so much that they say that they're going into Stormont on Monday. So I think people power and God power united, is we're seeing something shift at this time, and we really do believe that that miracle can happen. So anyone listening to this today, please pray. Please pray that this will be turned around. Please pray that these people here will be ashamed of themselves, that they will see that this is not the right side of history, that we're on the right side of history when we cherish and love all the children equally.
That's right. And the measure of a democracy is how you treat your most vulnerable citizens. And they would call themselves sort of socialists, and they're supposed to be on the side of the underprivileged. And in light, as you say, of reason, because they know that this has gone out of control in Britain. The British are killing, 500 babies every day, and over 90% of Down syndrome and disabled babies are being killed in Britain. And they know that very well. And they're inviting all of that sort of ideology over here is really such a tragedy.
Well, Cromwell said it very clearly whenever he spoke about, whenever he came into Ireland, and he used something that we should really, really highlight the fact. He referred to he couldn't kill the Irish as many as he wanted to because of the Rosary, because of their faith. And I really think at this time, this is what's keeping the Irish people strong. We're standing here today. We don't know what's ahead of us on Monday, but we do know that we've got a very strong faith, and that's the importance of having this faith. To be able to say to these Irish representatives of so-called Irish politicians, or these Irish politicians that say that they represent the Irish people, that the reality is they don't represent the Irish people. The Irish people cherish and value life, and they want to stop this law from being imposed on Ireland at this time.
And the fathers of the nation, we were talking about Pearse and Connolly here behind us, is an image of him. And just to remind people that we're at the Sinn Féin headquarters in West Belfast on Addison's Town Road. And we know what their mindset was, those fathers and Pearse, because they described their love for their country in terms of the price that was paid by our forebears during the penal laws, who paid a terrible price in the guts of 300 years. They were illiterate, but they knew the faith was true, and they wanted their children to have it. So the terrible sacrifices that they made, which are really so discredited by these people who are wearing the clothes of republicanism in that sense. But as you say, we're a people of prayer, and we're a people of miracles. And we believe that God can work a miracle in this situation. So we're going to pray the rosary today, aren't we, Bernadette?
We are. We're definitely going to pray the rosary, and we're going to actually pray that there will be a new Stormont government in the future, a government that will uphold the rights of every single child in this nation, throughout the whole of Ireland, because I think this is the time for people to rise up. And prayer is the way forward, and it's so important in this battle. So we have to be out here, they have these public demonstrations, but we also have to realise, prayer shifts the heart of God. Prayer changes everything. So we will pray now today, Paul, that we will see a change over the weekend, and something supernatural will happen on Monday. But the battle goes on, because as they say, sometimes you lose battles, but ultimately we will never lose the war, because we have the fighting spirit. The Irish people are fighting back. The unionists are representing the true government here that cherishes and protects every unborn child. So we need to pray for the very good unionist government, the DUP, the Ulster Unionists, the TUV, who came together and signed a petition to recall the government. So please God that they shame these people here, that we're more united in a sense with with their Protestant brothers and sisters than we are with the so-called Catholic representatives who to be Catholic in name only, but Republican, they do not represent the
future. I was talking to Tom, I'll not mention his surname, who was the Republican volunteer, and he said if those Pearse and those guys could come back to life, they would be standing with us right here. And Ireland is a beacon, has been in its history, a beacon of civilization. And we've been a witness to that we love our children, not like other nations across Europe. So we need to maintain that witness. And if they push this on us, God can change it. God can change hearts. And that's, we're a people of faith. Now, let me just say as well, before we go, we're not just talking about ideas here. This happened in Northern Ireland during the Troubles. There were people who were wounded on both sides, Catholics and Protestants. And Gordon Wilson, a Protestant man, the Enniskillen bomb, he's under rubble.
a bomb of the IRA, holding his daughter was close by, and she says, "Daddy, I love you," and then she died. And he publicly forgave the people who did that, who attacked his daughter the next day on the television, because he was a man of faith, not necessarily a great humanitarian. And the same with Bernadette Power from this road here. Her husband, they were going to mass, and the loyalist gang shot dead her husband sitting beside her and the three kids and the baby in arms, and she publicly forgave. And the mercy of God was poured out on this country because of those Christians, Catholics and Protestants, who came together and forgave. And I think that opened the mercy in the heart of God to give us the miracle of peace in Northern Ireland. So we can do that now.
We can. And when you talk about Bernadette Power, her family is here today to protest outside Sinn Féin office. So, you know, we have got great people standing with us today. Her daughter's here today. We've got great people in the movement that are willing to set aside everything for the sake of the little ones.
That's right. And as Christians come together, you know, it's the broken body of Christ coming together. What is the broken body of Christ? It's Christ on the cross, and there's great grace that comes from that. Bernadette, bless you for what you're doing, and we'll start a rosary here, will we?
We will. Thank you very much, Paul, and keep praying, everybody who's listening. We need your prayers, and if you can, fast on Monday as well. Thank
Amen.
You so much.
Thank you.
Presence. Lord, we long to see your face. We seek your presence. Lord, come now in your mercy. Seek your presence. Nothing else will satisfy. We seek your presence. Send your spirit to us now, or else we die. We seek your presence. No way ahead, you must show.
have been listening to Celtic Connections with Cathy Sinnott. Join Cathy Sinnott next time for more Celtic Connections.